talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I am doing well. Is this okay?
Yes, yeah, it's great. Thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I am apologetic about the noises. I'm literally in a construction zone because the Royals are building a brand new facility.
That's exciting. When is it going to be done?
Originally, we were told March, and now it looks like June. Typical construction timelines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that will be great.
Yeah.
You guys train nearby right now?
So our fields and everything is fine. We're actually just utilizing a different locker room space. Normally we are going to be like in our little wing of the facility, but right now that's what's under construction. And so we're just moved over to the boys side right now.
Gotcha. Very cool. So how is everything going so far?
I'm alive. I'm good. It's literally under construction, both, in the physical form, building out the new facility, and then also too in just bringing a new team to the end result. It is a literal construction zone.
I like that analogy. It's pretty cool that you guys are building it from the ground up. Like, that's such an exciting thing to do. And I'm sure it's got to be so cool for you to be going from being a player in the league and now a coach. Can you tell us what that transition's been like?
This experience is one of the greatest kind of soccer projects I've ever been able to be a part of. When I got the phone call to jump in as a head coach of the NWSL team in Salt Lake City, I felt like I wasn't necessarily ready or deserving or prepared to take on the role. But there was such an exciting piece of wanting to build something and build something from scratch. I've obviously played for the Utah Royals in the past, and so I have a passion for the city, the community, the organization itself. But I definitely didn't expect to be in this role like I am now. But like I said, one of the best soccer projects I've ever been a part of. And yeah, I just can't wait to build it now.
We've talked to a few players on your team and then even just other players in the league about the experience of having a former player as your coach and the experience of having someone who's been through the struggles of the league, knows the struggles of being a female athlete in general, not just, you know, your average coach that's coming in with a complete outsider's perspective. What do you think, like, what experiences from your playing days and from your own experience of being having like a player coach relationship, what are some things that you want to take as a coach and make sure either that you never do to your players or you want to bring to your players because you never had it? I'm so curious because you bring a totally different perspective. And yes, most coaches have been a former player in some capacity at one day, but to truly have had probably the most fresh experience as an NWSL player and professional women's soccer player, and then to be in that coaching role now. I'm just curious, what are some things that, you know, you're adamant about not doing or making sure that you do for your players?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I have the luxury of being extremely relatable in my position right now, given that I was once a player in the NWSL. I walked in the same shoes as some of these players. I've seen, you know, the highs and lows of the league, and I just understand the NWSL grind. So in a lot of ways, how I approach this coaching role is through the lens of the player. But at the same time too, like, I know I'm stepping into a role where I am the coach, and from that standpoint, like, I have to do what's right for the program and what's right for the full team. And my main goal is that, like, I care for these players undoubtedly so, to a point where they know that I have their very best interests at heart. I want every single player that comes to the Royals to know that they've gotten better, that they've developed, that they enjoyed their experience here. Because that's what I wanted as a player. I wanted to feel like I kept getting better and better each year. And I'm sad to say, in some years of my NWSL experience, I felt stagnant and I didn't grow. And so I certainly don't want that for my players here. And so something I plan to implement is, yeah, just really diving into the player's development, really diving into their needs. My ultimate goal is to win championships here. And the way you do that is by improving the individuals. So I am not afraid to get my hands dirty and work with these players one-on-one and really get down to business, because like I said, I'm after a championship and I'm after making my players better.
I love that. And you have the experience of winning a championship too. So you know best. I am curious, there's big like debate and people have different opinions. As a coach, do you treat every team member the same, or do you treat them as individuals with individual wants, needs, ways that they respond to verbal cues, physical cues, everything? I'm curious your outlook on that.
Here's what I'll say. Everyone gets held to the same standard. We all have the same expectations and responsibilities within the group. But from a coaching perspective, there's not one size that fits all. So some of my players may need more or less from me than their teammates. And that's my job to figure out, like, how am I going to get the best out of each and every player? And every person's recipe is a little bit different.
It seems like such an obvious thing that all players should be held to the same standard, but I don't feel like that's always the case. So I feel like that's an important part of it, that they all should be. But it's true, every player does respond differently. So it's a hard thing to do. I don't envy coaches for that. I feel like it's really challenging, but I feel like because you were a player and you have been in the shoes on that side, that you probably are very good at doing that. How do you feel coaching your teammates? Is that challenging? Like people that did play with, like now that you have a different hat on, what's that like?
There are a couple of players on the roster who I have been teammates with. Certainly players on the roster who I have played against. So it is different to be sitting in this role with this hat on. But the same way I was a teammate is similar to how I am as a coach. I lean on passion. I lean on intensity. I want to drive the group. A lot of the years that I played towards the end of my career, you know, I either stepped into the captain role or I was the player that brought the younger ones under my wing. And so stepping into coaching and being that role for some of these players, it doesn't feel too odd for me, actually. I'd love to hear my players' opinion on that. But at the end of the day, like, they know that I'm here for them, and I'm going to do my very best for the team and put them at the forefront. And I think that's all you really want in a coach player relationship.
Yeah. I think one of the general consensus that we've heard from players is I think they feel very understood by you, which is like, as a player, like I wanted my coach to understand me, understand my intention, you know, not ever feel like any of my effort was being mistaken in the wrong way. So the fact that one of the first things, you know, your players are saying about you is that they feel understood by their coach is like a big, big kudos to you. Cause I feel like that's where a lot of anxiety from a playing standpoint comes from, is when you feel like you're not understood from your coach. Throughout all your years of playing, I'm curious, what is the most impactful ways that a coach has influenced your career or you as a player? And then what is one of the most detrimental ways? And obviously you don't have to name specific coaches, but I'm just curious, how has a coach positively influenced your playing experience? And then how has it been negatively influenced?
So I'll tell you the story of my very first year in what was called the WPS. So the Women's Professional Soccer League in America. I ended up being the number one draft pick. I went out to Boston. I had a terrible opening season with that group. I had a lot of pressure on my shoulders, huge expectations. And I ended up crumbling. I didn't do well. It was my first time away from home and all the things. And I'll take ownership too of the fact that I didn't play well. And I had a coach who didn't really, you know, trust in me and believe me, and I wasn't getting selected for starting lineups. And even though at the time I was playing for our national team, and so I knew inside I had the ability, but I wasn't necessarily performing out on the field. And it wasn't until the end of that season when I got traded actually to a new team. I joined in with a new coaching staff, new set of players. I went from, you know, my year in Boston where I scored one goal to then the next year scoring almost like 17 or something like that. And I look back on that experience that I had and I was like, well, what was the difference? Like what changed in me? What was the environment? And I think I fall back on the fact that the coach that took me under their wing in that second team, like, they just promoted confidence. they put me in front of the net and they promoted confidence, and they definitely held a standard. They expected, you know, a lot out of me as well. But I feel like I came out of my shell as a player. And who knows, maybe it was partially because of the coach that unlocked that in me. And so when I took on this coaching role, I thought this, you know, in a similar way, like, how can I unlock my players? How can I maybe last year fix what could have been a bad experience for my players and then turn it into a great year this year? I'm going to focus on promoting confidence in my group, and bringing out the best of my players, like I said earlier.
I love that. And it's crazy because, like, you were still you in the season where you scored one goal versus 17. That's not even like, those aren't even in the same ballpark. So it's like,
right.
Yeah, that can be the difference sometimes, that, yeah, truly feeling like you're in a place where you can take chances and take risks and it's not going to be, you know, held against you or anything like that. That can open up a player's potential big time. That's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like a big thing that when we do have players on is, if they do have a change in their game, what is it? And a lot of times it is confidence, whether that's having coaches instill it in or have it themselves, like some sort of growth in their confidence can really change their game. And I think it's something that a lot of younger players struggle with too. It's at every level, it's hard to have confidence, but once you get it and if you can keep it, like, it's such a game changer.
Yeah.
How do you feel the game's grown since your first season? And then and on the national team, how have you seen the biggest growth and what changes do you want to continue to see?
It is such an amazing time to be involved with the NWSL and to be a woman in the game of soccer. Professional sports here is growing. And I think the NWSL specifically has grown so much, especially since I joined, you know, not having a proper locker room, not even having enough, you know, people on staff. Like, you just see the amount of growth the NWSL has gone through. And I'm really excited to be a part of the league now.
And then
I was just going to say, it must be so crazy just to see that transformation. Even like, you know, when we were younger, the teams that I watched were in the WPS. Like, I remember that. And right. To be in leagues that folds because of like a true lack of belief and a lack of support. And then, you know, to see it become what it is today, like even some of the games at Angel City, I can't get over a full stadium. It's not like, it blows my mind. It just, cause you always knew like it was worth those things. It's just like, all right, is everyone going to get on board and are we really supporting it? So it must be truly exciting to see that growth and to have been such a part of it too.
Each time we've talked to different teams in general, they've had different goals for the teams and how our listeners can support them. So I'd love to know, what ways can our listeners support you guys specifically?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm usually not good at like asking for things, so I wouldn't even know like what to ask your supporters for. Right now the Royals are on the brink of their inaugural season. I know the Royals were once a pro team before, but this is the first time in this second iteration that we're finally getting out in front of fans. And like we mentioned earlier, it's at such a great time in the NWSL to join in. And so I would just encourage people to come check out the Royals. We are putting together an exciting group of hard workers, great people. I couldn't be more excited about the locker room that I have behind this team. We're gelling together well, and we're going to put everything we got into this inaugural season. So I would just encourage people to come out and cheer and support for us. And we're hopefully going to put on a really good show.
I love it. Hopefully we get to go to a game soon. That'd be awesome.
We have the second highest most attendance in the NWSL in our last iteration. So I expect the attendance of the Royals community to be even bigger this time. They're so excited that we're back.
Yeah, and stepping up the facilities, the whole experience. Oh my God, I'm excited.
I know.
Alana, anything more before we go into rapid fire?
No, let's do some off the cuff.
What is rapid fire?
All right, it's just some fun questions.
It's like a slow burning candle, really. It's like a slow burning candle. So you take your time with these answers.
Okay. What's one Olympic sport that you would not come in last in?
Wow. Well, soccer, duh.
Is there another one?
You know, we need to know that backup sport that you could fake it till you make it.
I did do a lot of swimming in high school. It was good for the cardio. So I'm not saying I'm Katie Ledecky or anything like that, but I could do a freestyle.
That's good. That's good. I sing like a rock. God, it's impressive. okay. What is one thing that you can't travel to away games without, let's say as a coach, because we usually hear this from the player's perspective and it's always like, you know, headphones or all this random stuff. But as a coach, what's one thing that you're like, I need this on my trips. I don't feel right if I leave this at home.
You'll always find me on the sidelines holding my Ductig brand notebook. I feel like I'm always jotting down things. I think me jumping into this coaching role, it can be overwhelming at times. So I'm always, you know, jotting down little notes here and there and making sure I keep track of everything. Cause yeah, as you can imagine, it's a lot going on.
That's good. Those notebooks are next level. They're very cool.
A little brand promotion for my friend Tiff Weimer as well.
We know Tiff. She's from Connecticut. We used to play pickup with her back in the day.
There you go.
If you could have dinner with any athlete or coach, who would it be? Have an athlete and a coach there.
Yeah, from probably any sport.
Two of my mentor coaches that I'm looking at right now, Don Staley, Steve Kerr, Becky Hammond. I feel like there's so much for me to learn from other great coaches. I'm on the prowl to become the very best coach that I can. So always learning and asking questions and figuring out how I can further develop my coaching skills.
I love it. And then what's a dream athlete to sit down and have dinner with?
Golly, my all-time favorite athlete was Ty, probably between Kobe Bryant and Mia Hamm. At least those were my two idols growing up. The world of sports has just gotten so amazingly strong. And so there's too many good athletes nowadays to choose from.
I love it.
If there's a movie that you can quote way more than the average person, what would it be?
Right now I'm actually blanking on movies that I would sit back and watch over and over and over again, but my good friend Heather O'Reilly always wants me to speak in Jim Carrey accent. So she probably would pin me to say Dumb and Dumber or one of those silly movies.
Yeah. That's a classic.
Too easy to reference. I love it.
Just my son up as the Dumb and Dumber in the tuxedo, him and his friend for Halloween.
So perfect.
A lot of quotes from that day.
What is one food you could eat every day and never get sick of?
I love fresh fruit. I have a yogurt every single morning with fruit, so that's probably the go-to.
Me too. Good answer.
What's something on your bucket list or your soccer bucket list?
Win an NWSL championship. The other day, someone told me that there's never been an expansion team in any sport, any pro sport environment that has won in their first inaugural year. So my ultimate, you know, bucket list goal would be to bring home a championship in a franchise year.
That'd be really cool. Wow. That's an interesting fact, which makes sense. It's very hard in an inaugural year too, but wow. All right. And our last question,
like setting the bar very high.
If you're not setting the bar high, what are you doing? Like,
what are you doing?
What is your biggest soccer girl prop or soccer coach prop if you got a coach prop?
For me, training has to be as game-like as possible. So when the session doesn't look like a cutout of the game, or if my players have like, you know, the relaxed shoulders and they're just hanging out, like that for me is a sticking point. I make sure my players come to training with, you know, shin guards in, no jewelry, like paying attention to all the little details, because I'm massive in terms of making sure that training looks like the game and having it be as realistic as possible.
I love that.
That's a great one. Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to chat with you. This is like such a full circle moment. I remember us interviewing you before the World Cup in 20. Oh. That's so crazy. That's when we were like our first big interview too. So
crazy. That's awesome.
You are now. And we're really excited to watch all your success as a coach.
Thank you. And congrats to you guys too. It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We hope to get out. We want to see a Utah Royals game. I didn't know that about your the attendance being that high previously. So that makes me like super pumped. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think like our average attendance last time was 12,000 a game.
That's awesome. So
we're the only women's sports team in Salt Lake City. So, you know, the community really like has our back and yeah, it's fun to play here.
That's awesome. And if there's anything going forward in this season that you want highlighted or anything that you think that's really cool that can be showcased that we can just help get more people like learning the personalities of your players on the team, the team handle, let us know, because that's what we're here for. And we want these young girls to like be following these teams and eventually hopefully dream to play on them. So
I would love, please. I would love that. Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much, Amy. Have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.